And this Golic guy I'm telling you about, would you believe it? He makes as much money as me.
Then he must be twice as smart as you.
From the KKFI studios in Midtown, it's time for Khadija and the White Guys. And a good morning to you. I am the White Guy, Keith Washburn, and
I am Khadija Hardaway. Toot toot this morning, baby.
There's our toot toot. And our guest this morning is Yasmari Rodriguez from Black Lives Matter. She's a Black Lives Matter activist and an activist in general, and from Topeka, living in Topeka, and also working here in Kansas City. So she was able to join us this morning. Thanks for coming, Yasmari.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yes.
So, y'all know I always got to give y'all a visual right quick. Yasmari is beautiful in
What's
this camp.
On, Kansas
Look at
City?
Them eyebrows,
yes.
Y'all. She beat her pace, made it here.
On time.
Traveled a long way away. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, just a little bit about Yasmari. She is an activist and community builder who lives in Topeka, as we said, and currently the KC Regional Program Connector for a national nonprofit. And you've told me, you know, one-on-one a little bit about your community organizing career so far. You don't look to be a very old person, but I want to start with this morning.
Yes.
We had, Khadija and I tried to find a Black Lives Matter person. We've been trying for a really long time to get somebody in the show. Why is it so hard to find a Black Lives Matter activist?
I think the biggest reason, and this is kind of, I think the biggest reason is obviously safety, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's gone on in our communities and national wide that people really want to make sure that there's created safe places there. And then also, too, because a lot of those Black Lives Matter activists that are out there doing the work are doing the work. And so they don't have the time, per se, to make it in and do things like this, so to speak. Yeah.
You know, Black people can be a skeptic, right?
They are, absolutely.
Skeptics. And mm-hmm. That answer, it's not enough.
I hear you.
I mean, you know, what do I do if I want to be a member? Do I have to just wait and sit on my thumbs, or wait until I see a Black Lives Matter or somebody killed and show up to a protest where I see signs? Or, because that, I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, absolutely not. I think that in order for you to engage in the work, that's something that you need to see the need for your community, and you need to get out there and start doing that. And that can be in regards to community organizing. That can be going out there and actively seeking out Black Lives Matter, like the national chapter, which is what exactly we did. And then starting from there, it doesn't have to be something where you're just sitting on your thumbs waiting for something to happen.
So how do we get in contact with you if I wanted to become a member of your chapter, would I do that? Because, again, it's not easy to find you. We've been trying to get in touch with you guys for over 8 months.
Absolutely.
And no, seriously. Been speaking with a couple of people who said they were members but couldn't really speak, and I understand being fearful, but how do you get your message across, and how do you get membership if there is no one that you can readily point your finger to, even on the website, and say, hey, how do I do this? And
absolutely,
I don't want to be a skeptic. I want to be helpful, you know? And so the question still bears, how do we get in contact? Do we go to the website, or do you have a personal contact that they can contact in order to be a member?
People can actually contact me. I am one of the leaders in Topeka, Black Lives Matter Topeka chapter. We are also on Facebook, as well as you can contact the national chapter and they can get you connected as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask this question. I want to just go with the myths. So, you know, we've got a lot of myths. Believe me, there's a lot of white folks that have myths about Black Lives Matter. So is it a hate group?
Absolutely it is not. That is a huge misconception. I think that that's something done to discredit and dismantle the movement, as far as saying that we're a hate group and connected us with a lot of different other organizations and groups that have.
Well, you know, they associate you guys with being the Black Panthers. I know what the Black Panthers are about, but the media does not dim them in a good light. Do you feel like you're a segue from what the Black Panthers used to be, or no?
I think that the Black Panthers obviously have done like a lot of great work, and I know that they're definitely active still here, even in the Kansas City region. That was something that was new to me even. But as far as connecting them with us, we're definitely a separate group, and I think that there is room for collaboration there, but I don't think that it's one and the same.
So do you think because you have moved and became so large, that is the reason why you get the backlash from the media like the Black Panthers do? Because I know you're not alike, but mm-hmm. they did get backlash in a similar fashion that you're getting.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of the backlash comes from like what the social media does. Social media paints us in a light where, you know, they want to get the most ratings. And so if they put somebody on there who's like looting or killing or doing something aggressive towards police and talking about police brutality in that way, even though it may not be connected with Black Lives Matter, it automatically gets associated with that. And so it then turns into this negative connotation with the group.
Yeah, in a way, that's the way it is also being an African-American is, you know, I'm a representative of my race. And every time somebody sees something bad, it's like, oh, look at, you know, that type of thing, right? People
yep.
do this.
Yeah.
So, but is the group to be feared by anybody for any reason other than those that are trying to keep the status quo? They probably should fear the group, but other
well, honey,
than that
you don't look scary.
No. Well, I would hope not. And no, and that's not exactly what the group is about. Like, it's something that it should not be feared. And in fact, I think that there's more room for collaboration. I think that the group is in regards to like the validity of Black lives. And so if you are in conjunction with that and you are promoting that you believe that Black lives do matter as well as every other race,
what do you mean by validity? Does it mean a life? The living person?
Absolutely. And even those that have died and passed away, too, because obviously, like, we went through a surge of African-Americans that were killed, like, last summer, okay? Mm-hmm. Everyone from Philando Castile and everyone else down, and those names should be remembered. However, I think that that's something that society has painted us in such a light that's been so negative all the way from slavery on up that we have been seen as our life doesn't matter.
Well, the light is shining on you, girl, and you're beautiful.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
I want to just say to our listeners, and it's obvious just listening to you this morning, Yasmari is a wonderful person to sit and have coffee with. We did that. And,
yeah.
You know, it was because the first time I called her, you can tell right away, this is somebody that you can talk to, you can have a conversation with. She cares about people. And so I would just say she is a very good representative of Black Lives Matter. This is nothing to be feared, right? So
absolutely.
All you white
You're
folks.
You're the first that I've met. So.
Yeah, I mean, so other things that people have said is, well, why can't we make it Black Lives Matter too? Or why can't we make it All Lives Matter? So speak to that if you would.
I think the reason why is because systemic racism has shown us that with Black lives, that if you say Black Lives Matter too, then you're automatically saying that in order for Black lives to matter, you know, you're putting white folks on this pedestal, and that shouldn't be the case. Black lives have always mattered. It's just that we're shining a light now on that and having the focus on that, and that's the way that it should be.
I want to go back to the validity
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of Black lives.
Yes.
And your mission.
Mm-hmm.
Is your mission just strictly about saving Black lives, or do you do anything that gears toward Black-on-Black crime? And, well, it's not a funny issue. I mean,
yeah.
it's systemic
yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Do you deal with poverty, you know, the fact that there is a food desert in almost every urban community?
Mm-hmm,
or are you just strictly
mm-hmm.
for police brutality and protecting
no.
the lives of Blacks from...
No, and that's okay. a huge misconception just the same, is that people automatically assume that it's just for the validity of Black lives, but it's not just about, you know, us saving those lives. It's about everything from economic empowerment, restorative justice. It's in regards to, like, the poverty. It's in regards to educational standards that we have in our communities. It's in regards to having those food deserts and us needing to have higher quality foods in our neighborhoods. It's about all of those things, and those are some of the things that are in those guiding principles when it comes to Black Lives Matter. The reason why I chuckled in regards to the Black-on-Black crime is people have this, also a lot of African-Americans have this misconception that Black-on-Black crime is somehow worse than White-on-White crime. But if you look at the statistics show us that most crime that race does happens upon that same race. So like in the Black-on-Black crime, I believe it's like right at 93% that Blacks commit crimes against other Blacks. And then same thing with white Americans, they commit crimes, I think it's right at about 84% that it's white-on-white crime.
That may be true,
mm-hmm.
but we're still Black and we're still killing each other.
Absolutely,
at an alarming
we are.
Rate, and
right.
Our young men are killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to make light of it. It
sure.
is just as important as all lives. I mean, Black lives matter when it comes to police brutality, in my opinion. It is the core and foundation of our families, as mm-hmm. our young Black men that we're losing. So I think it's just important to shine a light, do some mentoring with young men.
Absolutely.
As it is, too. So that's why I made reference to it. I'm not making reference to it as to say that that's the all an end to what black people need to do. Mm-hmm. No, it's one of the things. And so that's why I wanted to pinpoint it, not to make a point that this is something that is a counter to Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely. And I think that's bringing a sense of pride back into the African-American community just the same, and having those mentor programs for those young African-American males as well as the young girls. Because if you don't create a strong sense of family, because that's one of our other guiding principles as well, is that if you don't have a strong sense of community and family, ultimately we are in a bad way. And it's not going to work for any of us.
Well, you know, I want to say I really appreciate the work that Black Lives Matter do. I mm-hmm. mean, it, no matter how you go about it, it's something that a lot of people don't have the salt to get up and do. So mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. However, I want to talk about your structure a little bit more. I mean, it is really important to understand mm-hmm. your structure and why be so secrecy about how people contact you. What mm-hmm. is the deal behind that? Like, what is the seriousness behind, except for the fact that you may lose your life?
Sure, that's huge.
A big one.
Well, I mean, you know, that's on a platform of like you being Dr. King or someone. That's an individual, then in its individual lives. But mm-hmm. we're talking about a movement of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, she answers that, I just want to say we have one caller already. So Khadija will give out the number here in a few minutes. Callers, if you could just, we know this is a very important topic and we know you're anxious to ask questions, we're not quite ready for callers yet, I don't think. And Khadija will let you know
really
when that time is.
We'll
just keep you on hold.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And maybe it's something that needs to be solution-based. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But for me, that bothers me that me as an African American can't contact anyone from Black Lives Matter.
Got it.
The answer is because we're so we're afraid of what may happen if we surface. Is it strictly underground or?
No, it is not strictly underground. And like I said before, you can go onto the Black Lives Matter organization website.
We've been there.
Yes, and you can definitely reach out and contact each one of the individual chapters, and that's something that you can do. As far as the organizational structure, obviously you guys know that it was started by Opal Tometi, Alicia Garza, and Patrice Colliers. Mm-hmm. But underneath that, you have the individual chapters that really have autonomy to be able to do what they need to do for their individual communities. And so that's something that, you know, you can go to those individual chapters and reach out to them. Like I said before, in regards to Topeka, you can definitely reach out to our Facebook page, and then I can give you guys my contact information just the same to do that, and then move forward from there.
Why don't you give it out now, and then you can give it out a little later? We have callers that listen throughout the show, so.
Definitely. You guys can email me. My email address is Yasmari. It's Y-A-S Mari period Rodriguez RODRIGUEZ the number 4 at gmail.com.
So Yasmari Rodriguez is our guest this morning with Black Lives Matter. She is an activist and does a lot. I want to talk soon about the things you've already done in Top City.
Absolutely.
So that's the code name for Topeka. For those in Kansas City that don't know it, a lot of people call Topeka Top City. And it is the capital city in Kansas, which makes it kind of convenient for you. And you grew up in Topeka, right?
Born and raised, yes.
Yeah, and came from would you call it a meager background?
Yes.
Yeah. So dad wasn't exactly flush with cash and so forth. Mm-hmm. And you said earlier what your heritage was. Mm-hmm. So, and talk a little bit about your education. There was some, you know, going back and forth to schools and so forth. If you would just briefly touch on that.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Topeka, Kansas. I went to USD 501 Public School District. And then when I got to middle school and high school, I went to predominantly white schools. I graduated from Topeka West High School. And then now I'm actually at Baker University getting my accounting degree.
Yeah.
Wow, yes. You mentioned the USD, what was it?
USD 501.
Yeah, usually you think of a rural area, don't you? You got me thinking urban. So that's something new right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we do have a caller. Let's go ahead and take that caller.
Let me give out the information for you to call in. If you are listening to us and you want to join the conversation, the number is 816-931-5534. Remember that if you are listening from Facebook and Instagram, you have to turn your radio on in order to hear the caller. If you don't, you just won't hear it, and I can't respond to you on Facebook to tell you that you ain't.
And we're going to ask all of our callers to keep it very brief this morning, because I imagine we're going to get a few calls about our guest this morning. Again, our guest is Yasmari Rodriguez with Black Lives Matter. And caller, you're on the air. What's your name and area town you're calling in from?
My name is Sydney, and I'm calling from Midtown, Kansas City.
All right, Sydney. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
So please go ahead and make it as concise as you can.
Okay. I just want to say, first of all, I am so proud of Black Lives Matter. I want to say that from my heart. I mean, I'm very proud of them, of that organization. I am an older adult, and I remember the struggle in the 60s and the Black Panther movement and other organizations that were progressive, and Dr. Martin Luther King, all of those wonderful people, Malcolm X, and organizations. And I feel that Black Lives Matter matters is a continuation of that struggle. And I don't even know where to go from there other than to say now is my children who are middle-aged adults and my grandchildren who are young adults, my grandson who says, what is Black Lives Matter? They don't seem to be anywhere. I said, they are. You have to search and get your information. I just wanted to basically say that, and I'm all for that organization, and I hope that both white and black and all other nationalities will look into what Black Lives Matter is about and not just assume that it's an organization that isn't doing the right things. I mean, it's quite to the contrary. I think they're doing what they need to do.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sydney. I appreciate that comment. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for calling in this morning. And in regards to that, anybody can be a member. You can join, you know, as you said, the Facebook is out there and so forth. And
yes.
If you're white, you can be an activist for Black Lives Matter, right?
Yes.
You'd love to have help of white folks, whatever, Mexican-Americans.
You do need to have that inclusion there just the same, and I think that it's important to have that collaboration just as long as you guys are all on the same page in regards to what the movement stands for and what your strategic plan is.
How do you relate to One Struggle KC?
So One Struggle KC, from my understanding, like, and I don't have a lot of background information on them, but from my understanding, they were created to primarily do trainings based upon, like, police brutality and things like that, and training people on how to do resistance.
So are they a chapter of Black Lives Matter?
No, they are not.
So how, right? But they're just affiliates then?
I believe, yes.
So do you affiliate yourself with other organizations?
Absolutely.
Because there's quite a few organizations
that
run in the realm of what you do. I'm a member of 100 Men of Blue Hills.
Yes.
And they're
Black
in the community.
Yeah. 100,
and,
yes.
You know, go straight to the question, black on black crime is what they do. There's a group called Ad Hoc Group Against Crime.
Yep. And I believe that's here in Kansas City region.
It is. Mm-hmm. So will you be connecting with those organizations?
That's what the hope is to do. I mean, there's collaboration that needs to be done. And that's one thing that people have another misconception on is that Black Lives Matter just is only strictly Black Lives Matter chapters and that organization. It's actually affiliated with several other organizations within our communities individually. And that's something that is another misconception. Like I said before, like you mentioned, like the Ad Hoc Group and then also like One Struggle Case. And then also like Black Youth Chapter 100, and there's several other that are all across the nation.
So we do have another caller. Let's take that call. You're on the air. What's your name and area town you're calling in from?
Yes, my name is Melvin, and I'm calling from South Kansas City, and I think you got a great topic. What I wanted to ask your guest, seeing that Black Lives Matter is nationwide, and from my understanding, I believe that it's nationwide, have they looked in the case with the judge that was found floating in the Hudson River and a black judge, female?
Good question. Thanks.
That's an amazing question. I appreciate you asking that. As far as for the national chapter, I have not heard any word just yet. I do believe that has happened within the past day or so.
Yesterday at about 1 something, her body was found floating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And I believe that there was another judge that was found just the same. So I believe it's been two cases.
Well, I don't think they were found the same way.
Right. But I believe it's been two judges that were found dead.
Didn't one's husband pass away or something? They found her dead in her house or something?
I
or
believe,
is that another story?
I think so.
But
there was something
I think
going
that
on
needs
there.
Some investigating. We need to wait for the story to come out a little bit more.
Absolutely. And I'm still doing
it
my research
fishy.
On it, too. It's definitely, I don't believe, a coincidence. Yeah. African-American judges
well,
passed away.
Well, they've already ruled a suicide and said that there was, you know, nothing found on her body, inflicted wound-wise or anything. Mm. And so... preliminary-wise, it has been ruled as a suicide.
Mm,
I
okay.
did read that.
Good question, and it kind of brings up how Black Lives Matter got started, which I think some people believe happened about Ferguson. It was way before that.
Way
it
before
was the Trayvon
Ferguson.
Martin
it
situation,
was,
right?
Yes, after the acquittal of George Zimmerman, actually in Florida, is the reason why the Black Lives Matter chapters got started, and that was kind of the resurgence of kind of the movement, so to speak, because a lot of people were upset. I mean, myself being one of them, when you have an African-American boy that was killed by someone who was not a police officer, and that person got off free and clear. Yes, a neighborhood watch guy. And so a lot of mothers, because the movement was started by, you know, mothers and sisters and aunts and everything else, in order to get this thing back going, because we saw this need that is needed in our communities. We could not stand for that.
So just a little memorial here. So people haven't forgotten, Trayvon Martin, February 26th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Brown, August 9th, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to say a shout out and a thank you to Darnell for making this introduction. Darnell is
Absolutely.
Actually a candidate in Kansas for the seat in the 49th District of
He's
Representatives.
An amazing person.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Darnell. And say a shout out also, I believe it was Alvin Brooks that started the ad hoc group against crime. Alvin Brooks has done so much good work mm-hmm. in Kansas City. So now let me ask this question, just the vision of Black Lives Matter, if you could say it concisely, and maybe if you would care to expound on what is your personal vision, like just for the next year, what you want to get accomplished, that kind of thing.
So our strategic plan for this next upcoming year is primarily to focus on like the state houses. Obviously right now in Kansas, we have about a 3-week break for the legislature. So working on bills that are currently trying to be passed that work against or work for African-American lives. And so we're working to get some things changed in the state houses and then also working in our individual communities in order to like uplift the most impoverished neighborhoods that we work in.
So any particular policies?
Yes, I believe right now there is House Bill 2049 that's going on right now. And basically that is a Blue Lives Matter bill. So anybody who commits a crime that's against a police officer, what that bill is suggesting that happens is that that person would get an additional sentence already above what is already placed upon anyone who commits a crime against a police officer, anywhere from up to 6 months to, I believe, 5 years.
What do you guys think about Trump's police reform plan?
I think that it's not going to work, but I think that that's more so towards like he's not a police reform guy, and so he doesn't ultimately want police reform. I always say, and I heard
you're
this
talking
quote,
about him or the person over the Justice Department.
The Justice Department, because to me, I look at it like they're one and the same. He does not put people in power that are not going to be in alignment with what his rules and regulations are and what he ultimately wants,
True.
What his vision is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that he doesn't want police reform. I think that it's something that's just being put out there in order for him to ultimately continue on race inequalities and to create more situations where more killings happen. I really believe that, ultimately.
Wow. So back, we do have a caller. Let's take our caller. But pardon me, you may be right in what you're saying, your mm-hmm. assessment there, which is he really doesn't want change at all.
Absolutely.
And it's a good thing to faint change, right? It's like this, you know,
I don't know.
Makes it sound
Obama
like,
put a lot of sanctions in place, and that's what he's wanting to pull back, you know,
mm-hmm.
Especially the body cameras and things of that nature. He may want it. I mean...
You mean you think Trump may want it?
Who knows what the dude wants? I mean, for real. Let's be real.
It changes from day to day. Right.
Your opinion counts, but what he wants, we don't know.
Let me say this. I personally do not believe Donald Trump has on high on his agenda to get police reform.
Absolutely not.
That's not a priority for mm-hmm. him. That's what my belief is. We do have a caller. Let's take our caller. You're on the air. Your name and area town you're calling in from?
Yes, again, I didn't get a chance to finish my statement, my question.
This
about
Melvin?
Melvin from South Kansas City.
Yeah, Melvin,
I was
okay.
talking about actually that judge you guys mentioned, the judge that was murdered as well in Chicago. They caught the guy that murdered him and is charging him with that murder. Mm. Also, you mentioned about ad hoc group against crime. I used to be a member of the Black Men Together ad hoc group against crime. We used to march in drug, drug houses to shut them down because in the community, the drug house dealers was intimidating people that would be by that. So, and one of the guys that's in Kansas City right now that goes to all the games, his name is Michael Wheeler. And he used to carry that sign saying, Jesus saved. And they mm-hmm. came out of the house one time and beat him up with a 2x4. And then we marched on that house and shut it down. And so that's one of the things that I recall as it relates to what Black Lives Matter is doing. And I commend them as well. Doing a fantastic job to be in light of letting people know Black Lives Matter because of the fact that people are shooting black mm-hmm. like they're animals.
Absolutely. Definitely appreciate that comment, Melvin, because I think that that's something that is so needed. We also need those protests and those actions, but more importantly, we need people to contact and network with their city departments and officials, their police departments, their state houses, and talk to those individuals because those are the persons that are currently in power. And going back really quickly to the Trump statement in regards to that, and I heard this quote some time ago, and I'll repeat it, and I don't remember who exactly said it, but it said basically.
And I want to follow up on something too as well.
Well, okay. Just hold on, sir. Let her finish.
Change. Okay. Basically, it says change isn't popular because the popular don't want change. And basically, if the majority, if they don't want change because it's going to upset their norm, then they're not going to do anything that's going to change anything for the minority because they don't want that. It's not going to be acceptable for them.
That would sound good if we were in Obama's era, but we're in Trump era.
We in Trump era. That is absolutely correct. And but. Please remember, though, just the same, it's important to recognize that just because he's currently, quote unquote, in power, that you have power just the same as I have power, just the same as everybody else in this room and that's listening
Absolutely.
Right now has power.
Absolutely.
And so you have actions that you can take today in order to make things happen. And that don't matter who's in office, whether it's Trump, whether it's Obama or anybody else.
Right on. So, hey, Melvin, do you have one final quick comment?
Yeah, only one thing I was asking her was, are they looking in the case with the guy that was trying to calm down an autistic adult, and he had his hands down with his back on the sidewalk, and the police shot him while he was laying down?
Okay, yeah.
I believe that was the one that happened, was that last fall, if I remember correctly? Mm-hmm. I believe that there are some actions going on around that, but I don't know entirely what the case is with that, so I can't speak on that.
I have a few comments from Facebook. I have someone says that you guys are not organized. You're very disorganized grassroots organization opposed to the NAACP, SPLC. I think they're saying SCLC. And that your message is not a united one because of the way your chapters are set up. And then someone replied to that person and said, it's not an organization. Do you want to reply to both of those people?
Absolutely. It is an organization, for one.
Okay.
And two, it does have a completely different structure from the NAACP. There are a lot of similarities in regards to some of the work that's being done, like mm-hmm. the NAACP. However, the NAACP has a hierarchy of people that, you know, are involved, right? Whether, you know, with the Black Lives Matter, the difference there is that we have people that were, you know, the starters of the Black Lives Matter movement. However, those individual chapters are the ones that have autonomy to be able to do what it is that is based upon their community. So that's where it may seem like it's a little bit disorganized, when in fact, if you go to those individual chapters, you will probably find a lot of amazing work that's being done.
Okay.
We do have a couple of more callers. Caller, you're on the air. Your name and area town you're calling in from? You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air. Go ahead. All right, we'll go over to this caller. Caller, you are on the air. So if you would start over and tell us your name and area town you're calling in from.
Okay. Can you hear me? This is Rich.
Rich,
you...
good morning.
Hey, Rich. Toot toot to you.
Hey, hi. You know, I went to one of the meetings you and Keith and Khadija had, where it was kind of just an open discussion about, you know, anything that came up. And I thought that was about the most interactive situation I've ever come across when it came with regard to understanding other people. Mm. And I wondered if your series contacts operate in the same way as you guys do. I think it would be really interesting to know if she did that.
Okay, so what he's saying, basically, Rich is a regular caller for our show, and also came to, we had these monthly meetings, and we would just sit around, black folks and white folks, anybody that came, and talk about racial issues. And he's asking, you know, do you think that would be something that Black Lives Matter might be interested in?
I think having the community conversations are really important, and I think that that's something needed. I think it's needed for strategic planning. I think it's also needed for healing. But I don't think that that's the focus of the group, because I think that there's been so much stuff. You can get so wrapped into the conversation that you don't do the work that's needed afterwards. Oh, yeah. And I think that that happens so much in our Black community. And so at some point in time, you have to stop the conversation and say, okay, now we're going to stand up and this is what we're going to do to combat this.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Good, I like
good answer. Really good answer.
Because we love to talk.
Rich, yeah. Rich, did you have a follow-up?
Well, my only follow-up is that I think too often protests are just gestures and they don't accomplish anything. They just are people spouting off about what's upsetting them. And I agree with that. Things do upset people. I spout off too now and then. But on the other hand, I don't know what they really... They get headlines, and that's it. And the headlines aren't even necessarily very informative. I think really where you gain from the deeper progress is through these interactions on a much more intimate level. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, Rich, I want to comment before Yasmari does, and that is that one of the things we talked about over coffee was just exactly what you just said. It's a frustration. Mm-hmm. And what she's doing is trying to develop relationships and be strategic. So if you would talk a little bit about that, Yasmari.
Absolutely. And I can go right on into, well, really quickly, I'll go back to Rich's comment in regards to the protest. I think that protest, ultimately, the whole action surrounding that is really meant to let other people know and shine a light on this is what our issue is concerning. After the protest, that's when the action is actually supposed to take place. So the protest is just announcing to the world, so to speak, that here's what we're going to be doing, this is what we're wanting, and this is what we're fighting for. Similar to like the Women's March, for example, that just happened a couple months ago. And then the real work happens after the fact.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you guys have a copyright on Black Lives Matter products? Well, we've had a serious discussion about this because
that's a good question.
My friend Jennifer, who's in the studio, toot toot to her. Her husband was saying that, you know, he's an artsy fartsy person and he likes slogans and stuff on t-shirts, and he went to go look for a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And there were a bunch of white people in these t-shirts. I'm just curious, do you guys have a patent or anything on the product line?
And I don't believe there is one.
Is just something that everybody could just kind of like free at?
Because it turned into for a lot of people, it turned into not really a movement, but a hashtag. And that's really not what the case is. And so in regards to trademark.
It started out as a hashtag, right? And then it morphed into something else.
Right. And so then in regards to, you know, the trademark and stuff like that, I don't believe that there's a trademark out there.
I need to do that. There's people all over the place that just is capitalizing.
That'd
off
be
of Black
a
Lives
great
Matter.
Way to fundraise, wouldn't it?
Well, this point, absolutely. Maybe the way they're feeling is anybody that wants to say Black Lives Matter, we're good with it. Maybe that's the original thinking. But I kind of agree with Khadija. Eventually, somebody should probably trademark
it. The way Chris described it, I think he was expecting Black people to be in these shirts.
All right, we have a caller, one caller that just called that we've got on hold. We're going to give the other caller one more chance. Do you have anything to say, caller? You're on the air. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, it is you. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Barry, and I just, I heard you. I had another question, man, but when you started talking about the trademark and stuff, it reminds me of the arguments that we had back in the 80s when somebody claimed to have owned the copyright to the Black Liberation flag, the red, black, and green.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about issues that deal with people's ability to survive, and it morphs into copyright.
Exactly. And so it's taking the focus away from what really is important and what really matters. So I firmly agree with you. And I think that's probably part of why they haven't trademarked it, is because they're so focused on the work.
I think it's important to I think all the questions that we're asking you are important. They may not be important to every individual, but they are important. It's important to know if the fundraising that is coming from these T-shirts are going back to Black Lives Matter or going into someone else's pocket for a profit. I think that's important to
know. Well, I know, like, for example, like, I've even gone on, like, Etsy, for example, and I've seen Black Lives Matter shirts on there and propaganda and everything else, and I know that's just going to whatever that individual person is that's selling that material.
Yeah, let's go back to Barry. Barry, what was your original call-in question?
Well, you was talking about the organizational structure of Black Lives Matter, and I was just, the thought occurred to me that probably one reason why the organizational structure is the way it is because doing it any other way is too easy for people to infiltrate the organization that don't have their goals in mind.
I agree with that. And yes.
It's too easy to focus on, you know, one particular head or something like that and try to destroy the organization from within.
Good point.
I definitely
Especially after, I was just reading a book where the late Chief Justice Thurgood Marshall, before he died, he admitted that he wound up being paid to spy on the NAACP and other civil rights organizations. You had someone who got on the way.
Nixon era.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure exactly which particular era it was. I mean, he died in late 80s, early 90s. But so I don't know at what point he was actually doing the spying. Mm-hmm. But you had the National Secretary for the Nation of Islam finally, after years of working in that position, coming out and admitting that he was spying on the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good comment, Barry. Definitely. So any follow-up, any question for Yasmari?
No, I just say keep doing what you're doing. I wouldn't, and frankly, I wouldn't worry a whole lot about trying to explain to the press at this stage what Black Lives Matter is. You've been around long enough. You've tried to make the explanation, and your leadership has tried to make the explanations, and people either get it at this stage, they either get it now or they don't, or they don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good comments. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Barry. Mm-hmm.
So one thing I was going to say, it's a young organization. There's folks that are, asking the question, why can't you be more organized? Well, I mean, they've only been around 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So it's young, and they want to build it right and build it strategically.
And I know specifically even with our chapter that we have, we've been really strategic as far as, like, going back to his point, really forging the relationships that we know that we need to have with individuals and making sure that those are authentic and making sure that they are the right fit. Because if not, it can really destroy everything that you're doing within your community and nationally.
How many members did you start out with and how many members do you have now?
So specifically for our chapter, we started out with, maybe only like a few of us that were just like, hey, we want to do something, but we really don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And now I want to say that we're right at about 75 to 80.
And that's between Topeka and Kansas City?
Yes, that is correct.
And where do you guys meet?
So we
somewhere in between? Wyandotte?
No, it just kind of depends. It just depends on, whatever the need is at that time. So sometimes it's here in Kansas City, sometimes it's in Topeka. It just kind of depends. Mm-hmm.
You know, the more I sit here and talk to you, the more I want to become a member.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
That's the hope, is that we have more people that are wanting to get engaged and, more importantly, wanting to do the work that's sustainable for our communities.
And by the way, Yasmari is wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt. So I just want to make that clear. We do have a couple of callers. And we're
going to be unapologetically Black. Yes.
Yeah. We got a couple of callers and we have somebody in the studio that has a question. So caller, you're on the air. What's your name and area town you're calling in from? You're on the air.
Yep, he's not.
All right, let's go to the over line two. You were on the air. If you would say your name and area town you're calling in from.
Hello, this is Brother Ron.
Brother Ron.
Yeah, I would just like to share some things with Tutu, baby. I would like to share some things about how we have to weaponize. Black Lives Matter is a gift from the Creator. Mm-hmm. It's fluid. It's not locked in. Mm-hmm. Let's not make it a T-shirt. Let's not make it a hashtag. Mm-hmm. You connect from where you live and your Black experience.
Absolutely.
And with all the stuff that we have on the table right now, I connect because they killed my mother. Mm. I connect because they killed my father.
Right.
I connect because I got an uncle killed. Now, where's my pain? Where's my lesson? And where do I connect now? We can't make this another NAACP.
Right.
We can't be another Nation of Islam. We must move forward as a people. We have to weaponize our thinking. We still have Bible classes where they come in and kill us and say, you want to know God? I'll show you God. So we have to wake up and begin to, it's a movement. It's fluid.
Absolutely.
Stop trying to make another Malcolm. You'll never get another Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, as a people, we have all the tools in our hands. We have to learn how to be strong and move forward. We're in a changing dynamic. The evils, the cloud of evils upon us. But we are the ones who always bring the people to the light. So I'm thankful for the sister. Don't get locked in. Don't let people, just let God move through you. We need to listen to each other, and we need to make this a world by action. Your actions connect you. You know, it's not a T-shirt.
Right.
It's not a game. Right. And our love for each other. No group in this world brings us to the forefront other than the African-American experience here in America. And now we're moving towards where their scheme is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Their masterful plan of supremacy is falling apart. But where do we fit in and be children of God? And where do we find peace and bring ourselves together in an action plan? Because we have to have a strategy. And we can't be yesterday. We have to be tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And we begin by talking to each other. Thank you, my sister,
for
stepping out. I love you. And that's what we need to say to each other. We are of the same DNA.
Oh, thank you, Ron. That was so beautiful.
Hey, Ron, thanks for calling in this morning. Brother Ron, always a good caller.
First of all, really quickly, condolences to him and, you know, the lives that he's lost in his life. But I would say, you know, we need to leverage that hurt and that love, just the same that he spoke of, in order for us to be able to make corrective actions in our world ultimately. Yes.
You know, I always say, you know, we're going to go through tragic times, but it's how you go through those times that's going to make a difference in how you best utilize your time as you go through it.
Say that.
You can make your experiences happy or you can make them sad.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even make them evoke something new. So,
right.
Yeah.
Let's try this caller that we lost. We'll try to give him one more chance. Caller, are you there? Are you on the air? Okay. Jennifer, you've got a question or comment, if you would.
Toot, baby.
So Jennifer is a friend of Khadijah sitting in here with us. And Jennifer, what's on your mind this
lovely
morning?
Person.
If you have a question or two.
Well, I'm glad to be here. And Yasmira, it's really interesting hearing you talk about how I'm surprised that the membership is so, even at just 75 or 80, you'd think you'd have a more robust. Why do you think the number is not higher at this point?
To be honest with you, I think that that's strategic. I think that just because you have a smaller number does not mean that you cannot make really great changes in your communities. And so I think that the number is right where it needs to be. And I think that if it continues to grow, that's great. And if not, that's okay, because I know that there's really impactful things that are happening in our community. And I can give a plethora of examples of that if you guys would like.
I would love to hear some of that.
Yeah,
go back to, if you would, when you first started, you went for this $57,000 grant, right?
Yeah, so one of the things that we started doing, it literally was back when numbers were small, myself and two other people in our community that were friends of mine that we grew up in the hood of Topeka, and we decided that we wanted to do something in our communities, and we were like, okay, what do we need to do? So we literally went out on a hot July afternoon, knocked on doors and said, hey, what do you guys need? And the responses that we got was, we need lights in our park. We need new playground equipment. We need new sidewalks. We need these things. Like, we want to be able to have, like,
infrastructure.
Yes, all of these things in our community. And so
they just signed a big old bill.
You're fine. We literally went to the city of Topeka and partnered with them, and literally went to Shawnee County Parks and Rec and made those partnerships with them and said, hey, what can we do? And we found out about a neighborhood empowerment grant, that there was about $120,000 on the table. And we applied for that back last August. This city council approved it in December, and that stuff is going to be implemented in our community in May. And we got awarded 52.5 on it.
Well, so we got, done, baby.
Yes,
well,
and we got more than anybody else. And then the city, the Shawnee County Parks and Rec, they saw how much work we were dedicated to doing. And so they actually made up the difference of that additional amount of money for us. And so they're going to have new tables, new chairs, new playground equipment. They had playground equipment from the 1980s in that community. But the sad part was, is if you go to the west side of Topeka, you have upkept grounds, you have all these new equipment that's replaced every couple of years and stuff that we really didn't have, but it was needed. And so now that community will have a sense of pride back there.
They blame it on a robust tax thing going on in different communities.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we are actually in the works right now to be applying for a $3 million grant that's going to be dealing with the infrastructure. Yes. Yes.
So there you go, folks. It has to start somewhere.
It has to start somewhere.
So yeah, that $57,000 grant, as you said, they get 52.5, which is over 90%, plus you got the rest of it covered by somebody else.
Yep.
And now you're going for $3
million. Absolutely. And that's what's needed.
So I know that, you know, you're starting this chapter, and obviously that's passion. But what are you most passionate about?
I think for me, I'm most passionate about, like, so the reason why I got my start in, not just with this, but just with anything, was in regards to education, more equitable education. So that's really where my passion and heart is at, and in creating a really strong family unit for our families. Because my parents, for example, they divorced when I was 5 years old. And so if you don't have a strong family unit or your village around you, then these kids are not going to do well in this world at all. You know, I have babies myself, and so it's important for me to recognize, hey, if I have that strong village around me, my babies are going to be okay. And that's going to cycle down and you know, to everything else, whether it be education, economics, and everything else for them.
Do you have any upcoming events going on?
Yes, we actually have one hopefully in the next month or so. We're going to be trying to do another Touch a Truck event in Topeka. And so I can definitely post that information.
What's Touch a Truck?
So we partnered with City of Topeka. And so basically what they did is they brought out like all their trucks, their dump trucks and everything else for the community, for the kids to be able to come out for like, I think it's about 2 hours or so to a Ripley Park. In order for them to bring their families out, they have food, they have drinks, they have community resources out there. And so that way they're able to do those things with their family and create that sense of pride that's back there. And then we have a couple other events that we're
so
in the works of doing.
So that's basically touching hands with community, I mean, with city workers, with the community, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Sort of those who you see driving past. Patching up the streets and the roads. And
absolutely,
stuff like
that. Yes.
Oh, that's a pretty cool event.
Yeah, and then we also have some other stuff going on. Like I said before, legislature right now is on a 3-week break, and then we have some testimonies and stuff that will be coming up, and we'll be posting that information on there as well.
So usually we get hung up about this time with a lot of calls.
That's so, better call now if you're going
to
call.
Yeah, but I want you to give out the information as far as to how people get in touch with you so that they can be a part.
Absolutely. Yeah. They can contact me directly. Like I said before, my email address is YASMARI.Rodriguez, RODRIGUEZ, the number 4@gmail.com, or you can definitely look us up on Facebook, and it's Black Lives Matter Topeka, or you can definitely contact the national chapter as well.
And is that blacklivesmatter.com?
It's .org.
I'm sorry.
.org.
Okay.
.org.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that. I want to ask this question. What advice? So you've gotten your start, and you went from someone who's sitting around thinking about all the problems, like many of our listeners do, to someone who actually got, you know, got something done. So what is your best advice for those listening about how to go about it?
Best advice would be to talk to your neighbors, because obviously you may have stuff that goes on in your community that you see that there's a need there. Obviously, maybe it'd be like,
I don't know. Some of my neighbors have Confederate flags in their windows.
But, you know, like with us, we couldn't be afraid. It was something as a matter of, you know, like us literally knocking on doors and saying, hey, what is it that you need? What is it that you're wanting? And making those connections and building that rapport with them. And we found, we also took out like voting registration cards as well. And we couldn't even tell you how many people we found that were felons in those communities that didn't even realize that after they were off papers, they were able to register to vote.
Oh, wow.
And so we registered them to vote in those communities as well.
So you're a person that is African-American. You consider yourself African-American.
Yes.
You're, you know, going around the hallways there in Topeka at the state capitol, right?
Yes.
How are you accepted there? You're building relationships, is that true?
Absolutely, yes. I think it's something that takes time. I think that you're going to have people that are leery of us the same way that we're leery of them. But I think that if you go in there with a sense of confidence and you want to achieve a certain goal, then with tenacity, you're going to make it happen. And it's not going to matter what somebody thinks of you, per se.
It may be hard, but you got to go through it,
exactly.
Right?
So it's not a matter of, you know, what I think of that person, what they think of me, but can we have that mutual respect and can we get to a compromise?
All right. I think we do have a caller. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. Your name and area town you're calling in from? You're on the air.
Yes, this is Ray.
Ray, good morning.
And I'm calling from North Kansas City.
Good morning.
Yes, I have one question and a comment. I'd like to give my comment first. My comment is that I really appreciate what you're doing here, and we appreciate the progress that Black Lives are making here in the Kansas City area. And I wanted to also know that by this chapter, is they regional or are you just in Kansas? Or can you join if you're in Missouri, Kansas? Or do they have certain districts that they are set up and it all links back to the national, I think? And also I like to say that on statistics of Black crime on crime, 9 times out of 10, the crimes are happening because of the people that you're around. You're around mostly Black people, so those are the people that you prey upon. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Black crime is Black on Black crime.
Right.
And exactly. I listen up your comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Ray.
Thank you so much. So, and specifically in regards to that, that's something that we're still working out because obviously we started in Topeka. We're planning on building that bridge in regards to Kansas City. So we're still making those connections there. We haven't figured out all of the logistics surrounding that. And we're trying to still get everything solidified with the national chapter. And so that's why it's taking a little bit of time. So as soon as we have more information, that will be forthcoming.
Are you the president of this chapter?
No, I'm not. There is no president per se, and that's one of the things I really love is there. I don't think that one person should have all that power. I think that everybody has their specific role and their specific skill set, and they're able to operate in that and flow in that.
So are you going to have bylaws?
I think that it's important for you to have bylaws and you to have like the guiding principles, like obviously that the national chapter has, but then you guys to have this understanding like, hey, this is what this is, because you can have bylaws and it still be a screwed up system, right? Mm-hmm. But if you are able to operate in a system of like, hey, we respect you, this is what we're going to do, and this is what our next actions are going to be, and keep it focused on the community and the focused on the African-American community and families, then there's no way that egos can creep into that.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, because Khadija talked about in her neighborhood, she's got a few rebel flags. By the way, I want to remind our listeners, we are talking to Black Lives Matter activist Yasmari Rodriguez, mm-hmm. and Larry J is up next. I need to say that because we love Larry and he's got the mm-hmm. sweet Southern soul coming up.
Got it.
When you have people that you don't think you agree with, but you really haven't ever even approached them, what do you do?
Give me an example.
Well, I got somebody living next door to me that's got a flag that I would personally consider that person not to be like me. Mm. And I'm sure Khadija feels like somebody flying a Confederate flag right next door to her.
My neighbors wave at me. we talk, but I wouldn't be knocking on their door. I'm just going to keep it real.
Right.
So how much do I need to do if I'm going to get things changed in this world? How much do I need to do in the state capital, whether it be Jeff City or Topeka? How much do I need to do reaching across the aisle and trying to develop relationships with people that I may not agree with on everything?
I think go with your gut instinct, because I think that you have like intuition that'll be able to guide you and say, okay, well, maybe Khadija doesn't need to go talk to her neighbors, for example, or maybe you don't need to go talk to the state house people and your legislators and whatever it is that you deem as being necessary in order for you to keep yourself safe and keep yourself in a good place. I think that that's what you really need to abide by.
I think God gives every individual purpose, and within that purpose you find your own direction.
Absolutely.
To go in. It may not be as authentic as most people's direction is, but to have your own purpose means a lot to whatever it is that the cause needs. So I think an individual should bring their individuality and their willingness to work toward the movement.
Hands down, yes.
And be strategic.
Absolutely.
Be strategic. So we talked a little bit about the manual, the Midwest Academy Manual for Community Organizing, which is a great manual.
It's a great manual.
And I talked with, I talked to the leader of that group, and she said, be strategic. And just what Rich said earlier, I thought was really good advice, which is, you know, I see these people going out and protesting. Well, sometimes the protest has got some strategy behind it, but too often people are going to go out and just raise hell, and they haven't even thought about what their strategy is in order to get things done and make things go their way, how to change the system.
Absolutely. And I think it's okay for you to take a step back when you need to and say, okay, well, this is what we need to do now. If it takes us a month or 2 months or however long for us to get that strategic plan together and figure out what our next steps are going to be, you're ultimately going to be better off than if you just go out there and do some sort of action and then hope it works and hope it flies and hope that people accept it, because more than likely it won't.
I came into the beating and I'm a skeptic. As an African-American, I'm just going to be honest, there's a lot of times that we have organizations in our community that don't fare us well. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my questions were geared toward that and logistics. And I must say that I'm honestly happy that I am more aware now than I was before stepping in this room and speaking with you. So I'm eager to learn more about the Black Lives Matter and be an intricate part of helping your movement move forward. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you
so
much
for sitting here and willing to educate me, because I can be very stern in wanting my answers. So I appreciate it. It's no, a toot toot to you.
Thank you, and I appreciate that just the same. Absolutely. It's appreciated.
Yeah, our guest has been Yasmari Rodriguez. It's about out of time for us. This is Stevie Wonder going to take us out of here. Yasmari, thank you again for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Khadija. And appreciate you, Kansas City.
Toot to you, babe.
Right on. And I just want to end with this quote. This is from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Darkness. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So that's a good one. And that's right on the dovetail off of what Brother Ron said earlier. So thank you all for coming in with us this morning. Here's Stevie to close us out this morning. And we'll see you next week at 9 o'clock. Larry J is up next with that sweet Southern soul.